Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. First John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now faith is spiritual sight, right? Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes or follows that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit is what? Truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And this is a representation bearing witness in the eternal heavenly kingdom. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one, which who was Christ who came into the world. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may what? Continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Again, faith is what we call spiritual sight. He says, if you follow the Son of God, if you believe, you follow. This is an area where we've got to come in the air, in the arena, because he speaks of the heavenly eternal kingdom, and then the kingdom that's on earth that's brought forth by heaven. So we must see the union between heaven and earth through Christ Jesus. Does everybody understand that? We must be able to see. This is to foresee. In other words, your walk and my walk should always have the revelation in the area that we are now seeing the union between heaven and earth through Christ. There is a union between heaven and earth, and it is in Christ Jesus. And it says here, which is, let's go a little to verse 14. He says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. In other words, when you are in a place that you foresee this, so as you ask, you know that he hears then, because you know that he is the union between heaven and earth. Christ, the Holy Spirit. Because what connects the spirit realm of the kingdom to the earthly realm is the Holy Spirit. He is the in-between there. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Then it goes to the what? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. So in this we see that the Holy Spirit connects. Now, the Holy Spirit is who came into the natural realm, impregnated Mary, put on flesh, and came into the natural realm. That's why he's called the Christ. And in this, when we begin to foresee in all things that when you speak the name of Jesus, what you are saying is you foresee all in Jesus the Christ, not the Jesus of the flesh, but the Jesus of the Christ, the Holy Spirit, who is in union with heaven, bringing union to the earth through his name. See, now, let me share something with you. That's why he says, if you can foresee this, what you ask for has been heard. If you cannot foresee this, you can't be heard. Does everybody get this? Why? Because then you're looking associated with fleshly things and not associated with spiritual things. And there is a difference. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. So can everybody see now the union between heaven and earth is through Christ? See, the devil is trying to bring the union between hell and earth through sin. So that's why sin reigns all over the earth, doesn't it? Because people who are in the flesh is associated with the presence of evil, which is sin. So the enemy brings union between hell and earth through sin. God is bringing the union between heaven and earth through Christ, because he took on sin and he condemned it in his flesh. So there's an area where we've got to begin to foresee these things, everything we look at. So when you say in the name of Jesus, what you are doing is you're cooperating in the union between heaven and earth and bringing those things in. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Let's read it. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Love him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? See, we're going to begin to see things in a different arena now. So he has revealed these things to see and to hear. Things that he has prepared for me and you will be revealed to us through his Spirit, because we are now beginning to see and hear, because we can foresee those things that are of heaven in union with earth through Christ by his Spirit. Verse 10. Again, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And where are the deep things of God? Believe me, they're not in the earth. They're in heaven. It's amazing how we think about the deep things of God being in the earth. We got to go dig them up. No, what you're doing is you're penetrating the kingdom of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for what? The Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might what? Know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So to see and hear by the Spirit of Christ is what Jesus brings, the union between the heaven and earth in his name. It is a place that we must begin to foresee, to forsake. We'll talk about that in a second. We must get to a place that we foresee to forsake. Go to Matthew 27. You know, you've got to look in the arena where Jesus, did he foresee? Yes, he said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. So he was able to foresee. He knew that the veil was going to be ripped in the temple. He knew that he was going to be crucified. But what he foresaw was the victory of what the accomplishment of his death was going to bring. So in this, in verse 45, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the earth. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you what? Forsaken me. He said, why have you forsaken me? In other words, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, why have you forsaken me? See, he was able to foresee the outcome. He was able to foresee the outcome and take the temporary forsakenness. It was a moment of his father forsaking him, knowing he would please his father and rescue his creation and offsprings. So he foresaw already what the outcome was going to be. He was able to foresee so that he could forsake. And so many times there's that area that we must be able to foresee things so that we can forsake certain things. Because we know that the benefit is for kingdom business. Too many times we're not willing to forsake because we can't foresee. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit and the bond of what? And the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. In other words, he's saying, keep the unity of the Spirit. Maintain your position in the Spirit to foresee the union between heaven and earth to the Spirit of Christ. Maintain this arena that you are able to foresee. And forsake carnalities, human precepts, to what is understood as natural. Ooh, come on, grab hold of this. I'm going to say this again. He's saying, keep the unity of the Spirit to maintain your position in the Spirit, to foresee the union between heaven and earth through the Spirit of Christ, and forsake carnalities, human precepts, to what is understood as natural. Natural. You know, the world promotes everything natural. We should be promoting everything supernatural. The problem is we're not foreseeing the union between heaven and earth through Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is what? Bless us with what? Every spiritual blessing where? And heavenly places in what? In Christ. Now look at this. Just as he chose us in him before, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved eternal family. Now this is phenomenal. He said we're blessed at every spiritual blessing in heavenly places because he chose us in him. He adopted us as sons and daughters and made us accepted in the beloved family. And Jesus, so we are in Christ Jesus. So the union between heaven and earth in Jesus can be manifested through us who carry the Spirit of Christ. We must foresee to forsake human precepts of carnality. That's what we always put our common sense on. The carnality precepts. that accepts sickness, that accepts disease. The carnality precepts that its dependence is on the natural instead of the supernatural. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. I think we better start at verse 1. Let's start at verse 1. And it says, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with him, with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together in what? Everyone say made. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Jesus. So, he made us alive. He made us sit in heavenly places with Christ. See, these are the eternal heavenly places. We're blessed every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And we are already seated in those places. But we are seated in those places when we foresee the union between heaven and earth through Christ and the Christ that dwells within me and you now. Why? Because now we're able to forsake the carnal precepts that hold us from that area. See, you must see yourself now as part of the union between heaven and earth in him. Remember, he said he made us alive. He adopted us, he accepted us in him. He blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated us in heavenly places in him. So if you're in him, you are now in the union between heaven and earth. Not according to the natural carnal understanding. And the precepts that prevent us from acknowledging that, because that prevents us from foreseeing things. See, now we've got to come to a place where we're forsaking these carnal precepts and those things that hold us from getting in position there. In other words, stop fighting for your life. It always gets you out of position. Oh, glory. 2 Corinthians 4. I think one of the biggest areas as believers that we lose sight of who we really are. We listen to what the world tells you who you are. We listen to what the voice, the stranger, tells you who you are. Now, this is the simplicity of Christ. This is the simple. I mean, this. Listen, if you're able to foresee this, you have everything. See, but we get caught up in the carnal precepts, in the things of natural. And everybody wants to eat natural. I want to eat supernatural. That's why he says, feed on my faithfulness. So we've got to be able to look at ourselves differently. Because, of course, the enemy knows what you look like, how you see yourself. Remember, we talked about that self-condemning spirit. It causes people to what? Run instead of fight. Because what that spirit does then, and causes you to see yourself the way the devil wants you to see you, not according to what God sees you. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Let's read this. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. So you're looking at the things that are not seen. In other words, you're looking into the things that are not yet, but you're actually seeing them, so they are. Is everybody with me? You're not looking, in other words, your dependency is not on the temporary. It's on the eternal. Let's go a little further. Chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Why? Because you're already seated there. You can't get there unless you're already seated there. You can't have access there unless you're already seated there. You have no access to heaven at all unless you're seated and blessed there. But you have access through the Spirit, not through the flesh. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life, by the natural. And says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. What's the guarantee? The guarantee is so that we are in union between heaven and earth. The guarantee is that we're already seated. See, when we're in the Spirit. Now, let me share something about being in the Spirit. It's not just about praying in tongues and worship. That's a part of it. But being in the Spirit is associated with having an intimate relationship with Christ. To you are sensitive to his unction, his voice. Does everybody got it? So that you're doing the things that please him. So he can hear correctly. So he can see correctly. This intimacy with Christ Jesus, with your Holy Father, with the Holy Spirit, this is so that you are sensitive. Because there is intimacy. You're sensitive. You're sensitive to his unction. You're sensitive to his move. You're able to foresee. Listen, when you're in the Spirit, you're able to foresee so many things. You can get around someone and you'll know what's up. And it's not that he's exposing their dirty laundry. There's just something that you know isn't right. And he doesn't have to reveal it to you. So we see there's a difference between the eternal and the temporary. We must foresee, forsake, and access. We must foresee, forsake, and access. In some instances, we must forsake first to foresee and access. In other words, you must first forsake sin so you can foresee. Amen? Because some people fall into sin and then they can't foresee, so they must forsake sin so they can foresee. Because they lose sight of who they are. And that now they can't see that in the Spirit of Christ that dwells within us, we're sensitive enough and discerning enough that we sense that we are now in Christ in the union between heaven and earth. And without the body of Christ here, there is no union between heaven and earth. That's why he left his body. That's why he gave the prayer and asked that the will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Go to Proverbs 22. That's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. Everybody wants money. But you should never allow yourself to be a servant to money. Money should not be your God. It's not your purpose. Amen. In verse 2, it says, the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. A prudent man, that's someone with wisdom, foresees what? Evil in what? Hides himself. But the simple pass on and are what? They perish. By humility, the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. The fear of the Lord, by humility, the fear of the Lord is what? Riches, honor, and life. Why? Because it allows us, as we're in the Spirit, to become the union between heaven and earth. And now, because you are foreseeing, you're forsaking, and you're accessing. And you're accessing all the things with spiritual blessings. The greatest riches is revelation. Man, I can live on revelation. Because in the intimacy with the Lord, His presence feeds. How do you think Moses lived for 40 days with no water or food? He lived on revelation. Constant, purifying, overflowing revelation from God Almighty. He only thought he was in there for 5 minutes. He came out, and it was 40 days later. No sense of time or space. None. The revelation was overwhelming to him. He was so in the Spirit, speaking with the Lord. And that revelation kept him alive. It had nothing to do with the natural. Hebrews 10. So he says, we must foresee evil. Foresee evil. Hebrews chapter 10. That's why wisdom is to depart from evil. It's also associated with the fear of the Lord. It says the beginning of wisdom is to depart from evil, and the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking. Here's a place where he says, don't forsake. The what? Assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day what? Approaching. In other words, be in unity. You know, that corporate worship is essential. Fellowship is essential in the body of Christ. Don't forsake assembling, because a corporate anointing is essential. There may be something that you don't see that somebody else sees. In Galatians 3. That's one of the ploys of the enemy, is to separate, because he loves to get the sheep. A wolf always likes to get the sheep by itself. You know, in this forsaking, we've got to be able to discern, because people have desires, and we must find the root of the desire. In other words, this desire has a root and a motive. The motive is to be foreseen. The root is to be exposed. Why? Because when you sense the motive, you foresee what it's seeing. See, so that's why many times the desire will speak louder than the voice of God. And people will think it's God. Because this is the desire. When it's really not God. But that's why it's our responsibility to foresee what the motive is and expose the root of the desire. Or it gets us out of position. It will always, and it promotes anxiousness. Remember, there's that area that we're always in that arena to foresee is to forsake. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, what? Foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with what? Believing Abraham. So the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have come down to me and you. And in this, he said, even the scriptures foresaw. See, so reading the Word of God will bring you opportunity to foresee certain things. Because the Word of God is not only past and present, but it is also future. It's three-dimensional. Go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse 7. Paul says something very powerful. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for what? Christ. Because he was able to foresee, so he was able to forsake. If you recall, didn't the Lord reveal himself to him? Amen? So now, because the Lord revealed himself to him, he was able to foresee, wasn't he? So now he was able to forsake. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And be found where? In him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul was finally, he was foreseeing himself truly in Christ, even in his sufferings and everything, realizing that he was now a union between heaven and earth because of Christ. Now, he wanted to forsake everything. He didn't want anything to interfere with him being put out of position of being between the union between heaven and earth. In Christ. Amen? Praise God. Let's go a little further. Let's go 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I what? I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many of us as are mature have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind, forsaking the past and all things of worldly gain for the position of union between heaven and earth in Christ. Many not willing to forsake the past. And what happens is then they forsake the right way in Christ to the pathway of Christ. And in this they get moved out of position. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Many willing to forsake, not willing to forsake the past. And what happens is they forsake walking the correct way, and it gets them out of position. 2 Peter chapter 2 speaks on this. 2 Peter chapter 2. So Paul was willing to forsake the past and all the things of worldly gain for the position of union between heaven and earth in Christ. And 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollution of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Go to Hosea 6. So the enemy is always trying to get us out of the position and out of the spirit. In fact, before you go to Hosea 6, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. So this position of union between heaven and earth is associated with in the Spirit in Christ. It says in verse 24, those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh. Will the flesh get you out of position? Yes. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us what? Walk in Him. In other words, make access. Get access to the eternal kingdom then. If you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. In other words, get access so that you are in union between heaven and earth. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. And go to Hosea 6. You know, today, I was in the jail today, and the Lord gave us a powerful message, and so on my way home, I stopped at the gym and worked out for a few minutes, and the Spirit said it was time to go. And when you go, I want you to go sit with me. So I went home, and I went upstairs in my room, and I just sat there and prayed in the Spirit, and immediately the Holy Spirit gave me something. And I wrote it down, and it was associated with tonight's message also. And before I share with you what the Spirit gave me, I want to share with you Hosea 6, and starting at verse 1. And he says, "Come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He was stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. He's going forth. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us." Now I want you to grab this. He will come to us like what? Like rain. Like the latter and the former rain to the earth. He says, he will come to us like rain. And the Spirit said to me today, foreseeing but not forsaking my ritual of entrance to the heavenly places, which has been established and written for all mankind to find me and to know me. I'll repeat this again. Foreseeing but not forsaking my ritual of entrance to the heavenly places, which has been established and written for all mankind to find me and to know me. He says, what you look for has already been established in heavenly places. Why not forsake what you so desperately hold on to and receive the new? He said, brethren cry out to me, and I send my clouds that carries provision. But they run for shelter because they foresee it as rain with natural eyes and not with spiritual eyes. He said, to further your growth, you must be willing to get wet. You want to hear this one more time? Foreseeing but not forsaking my ritual of entrance to heavenly places, which has been established and written for all mankind to find me and to know me. What you look for has already been established in heavenly places. So why not just forsake what you so dearly hold on to and receive the new? He said, brethren, cry out to me, and I send my clouds that carries provisions. But they run for shelter because they foresee it as rain with the natural eyes, but not with spiritual eyes. He said, to further your growth, you must be willing to get wet. You must be willing to get wet. You know, foreseeing and forsaking, it's a whole new thing. It's a whole, of course, there's nothing new under the sun, but it's a whole new area where we must begin and be willing to foresee and forsake so that we're not taken out of position of allowing the union between heaven and earth to be established through us. See, we must be willing to get wet. We must be willing to pay the price. See, so many times people run because they see through the natural eyes and not through the eyes of the Spirit. And then they go out to manifest their own provision when God is already providing it. Oh, we are at such a time right now. Such a time. I mean, there are so many things I'd like to release, but I can't yet. Such a time. But hallelujah. The choice is ours. for seeing and forsaking. Amen. Would you lift your hands to heaven? Holy Father, your word that has been released today, I pray penetrates the deepest part and the core of our spirit. That it would not only grow and bear fruit, but it would possess us. In the area that we would be possessed by your spirit. In the carnal eyes, the carnal ears, the carnal heart, the carnal voice, the carnal precepts would be forsaken so that we could foresee. Lord, let us get revelation of who we truly are and the importance because of the carnal that makes the world its source. But the world is not our source, Lord. You're our source and everything else is a resource. Let us get the revelation that we are of the Christ, in the Christ, the union between heaven and earth. That the supernatural will supersede the natural in all of our affairs, all of our choices, and all of our days. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God and be blessed. Let's give God glory.